On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, the lines have been announced. Who's getting the first crack at the top six spot? We will talk about the lineup and what the Edmonton Oilers need to do to beat the Carolina Hurricanes on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As mentioned on today's episode, the lines have dropped for the Edmonton Oilers. And there are some surprises on there, reshuffling not only on the forward group, but with the defense as well. We will talk about that in just a little bit. But also on today's episode, we are going to go through the three keys to victory for the Edmonton Oilers over the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. A little bit of an interesting statistical battle between the two of them, so we will go through that a little later on. But also on today's episode, to wrap it up, the ghost of Oilers past, and this one's a pretty interesting one. One of the guys that the Edmonton Oilers acquired for Sam Gagner. Yes, one of his many tenures with the Oilers. This was the guy that the Oilers got for Sam Gagner. So a little bit of a clue for you there heading into the final period of today's episode. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Alrighty, let's get into the lines for the Edmonton Oilers tonight, as they did have a little bit of a skate today before their game against the Carolina Hurricanes. The new guys are up with the team and skating with the team, but one of them isn't going to be in the lineup. We'll talk about which one in just a second, but let's go through the lines and show you the surprise in the top six. The first line for the Edmonton Oilers tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is lining up next to Connor McDavid, and Jesse Puljujärvi will be on the first line again tonight. Then on the second line, this is where the surprise is, and I'm pretty pumped to see this. Dylan Holloway will get the first opportunity in the top six for the Edmonton Oilers since Evander Kane's tough injury there to see. He will line up next to Leon Draisaitl and Zach Hyman. So we talked about yesterday how playing Holloway with McDavid and Hyman would be pretty nice. But the nice thing here is that Holloway will still be playing with Hyman, a mature player who, again, that line has chemistry together. They have played together in exhibition games throughout training camp. They started together on the first game of the season together. Then there was a little bit of a dismantling after Holloway's tough giveaway that led to the first goal of the season against. He needs to find his mojo back since then. He needs to find his confidence. But he's a skilled hockey player, and I have no doubt about the fact that he will be able to get his confidence back. He's a good hockey player. The third line. Now, this has a little bit of a shock for me because this means, it sounds like the Edmonton Oilers are going to go 11-7. This means a shocking winger is going to be out of the lineup tonight. The third line is Warren Fogle, Ryan McLeod, and Derek Ryan. Yeah. Now, I'll come back to that line, but that means that the fourth line, if the Edmonton Oilers are going 11-7, which it sounds like they are, is going to be Matthias Janmark, which will draw into his first game of the season, and Devin Shore. I didn't mention Kyler Yamamoto yet. Sounds like Kyler Yamamoto might be a healthy scratch tonight. That's not great. Also going to be a healthy scratch tonight, Klim Kostin with the 11-7. You know what? Some positive words coming out of Jay Woodcroft today about Klim Kostin. first time, like he said, seeing the lights of his eyes, first time meeting. They've seen some tape on him down in Bakersfield, but Jay Woodcroft has played against him in San Antonio and in Springfield as well, down in the AHL, so rather familiar, and they said got an introduction in practice today. So we'll see how Costin progresses. Could we see him down the line? Maybe. Hopefully, he's going to be wearing number 21 for the Edmonton Oilers. Interesting note, I believe it was from Oilers Access on Twitter. The last player to wear that number was Dominic Cahoon. So, yeah, that was a nice little note there. But let's go back to that third line for a second. Fogle, McLeod, and Derek Ryan on that third line. You know what? Derek Ryan has had a very quietly solid season so far. I know my friend, I'm sure if you follow Oilers Nation, you know Waz, especially on Instagram. Excuse me. On Instagram and on TikTok. But he's a big Derek Ryan supporter. He wants Derek Ryan in the top six. He always talks about, oh, I just want Derek Ryan's autograph. And I think because the autograph session is coming up. But I think it really is a praise to his game that he is very quietly solid. He does a lot of very good stuff. Small things in the offensive zone that keeps plays alive. Gets pucks to open ice and gets pucks to players who are open on his own team. He gets to open ice. He gets under the skin of defensemen and goaltenders at times as well. Got a pretty solid shot. He has a good skating ability to get open and getaway speed, basically. He's had a very good season so far, and that's not even talking about his defensive game as well, which is one of the best on the Oilers too. So Derek Ryan has really earned that spot on that third line, and obviously going to be a key contributor on the penalty kill as well, along with Matthias Janmark. Now, it's not only the forwards who are getting a little bit of a shakeup at the defensive core as well. It has a little bit of a different look, and I'm digging the look, and I'm digging the willingness to move around that defensive core. Since last year, basically halfway through the year, that defensive core was relatively the same. It was always Nurse, CeCe. It was always Kulak, Barry, or Kulak, Bouchard, something like that. And now, getting something a little different. Tonight, we are getting a look at the top pairing of Darnell Nurse and Tyson Barry. Now, I know I hear a lot of maybe analytic people going, Nurse and Barry, Calm down. That's enough. It's really not a big deal. I'm excited to see these two. Obviously, Barry's offensive touch is the biggest thing for him. We'll see how everything will happen in the defensive zone. Again, the defensive organization has been the biggest issue for me for the Oilers. And we'll see if we can get something out of them. Again, Darnell Nurse wasn't seen on the ice in the last 30 seconds to a minute of the game. In a close game, a one-goal game against a two-time Stanley Cup champions in the last 3 years. Maybe a message being sent, but taking a look at these lines, or especially the pairings, I should say. Interesting. We'll see the usage of the two defensemen, especially considering that the Edmonton Oilers are seemingly going with an 11-7. The second pairing for the Edmonton Oilers, that means Brett Kulak will line up with Cody CeCe. Don't know if this is more of a demotion for CeCe. At the start of the year, I think he was one of our best defensemen, if not our best defenseman. Has fallen in the last couple of games, but I don't see this as much as a demotion. I just think it more of a shakeup, and you're not going to put Darnell Nurse on the second. The interesting thing I see here with the two pairings is it's kind of like for like along with each other. Darnell Nurse and Tyson Barry, although Darnell Nurse is much more physical and very solid in his own end. I think he's very quietly solid in his own end. Where Tyson Barry is, again, that offensive threat along with Darnell Nurse can be offensive too. They're both very strong skating defensemen with offensive mindsets. Interesting. Now you see Kulak and CeCe, who are both defensive-minded, two-way in their own sense, honestly. That Kulak has a very good shot. He's a very good skater. He can join the rush and can really distribute the puck. Cody CeCe is quietly the same. He has a very solid goals for per 60 for the Edmonton Oilers, and at one time he was actually one of the top three. But again, like for like, I don't know how I feel about that. And then Ryan Murray, along with a split between Marcus Niemelainen and Evan Bouchard. A massive message being sent to Evan Bouchard here, getting split time with Niemelainen. I think that's right. It is maybe not so much the split between him. I think it'll be more Murray-Niemelainen than Niemelainen Bouchard than Murray Bouchard. I think it'll be a little bit of a scramble between the three of them, but I like it. Message being sent, both very solid defensemen to put next to Bouchard to give him that extra blanket of a solid defensive defenseman. So I'm behind it. And Jack Campbell will get the start tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. So a jumbled piece for the Edmonton Oilers. So to recap, it sounds like it will be an 11-7 lineup for the Edmonton Oilers. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins lining up with Connor McDavid and Jesse Puljujärvi. Dylan Holloway getting the first crack at the top six for the depth players. He will be skating alongside Leon Draisaitl and Zach Hyman. Warren Fogel, Ryan McLeod, and Derek Ryan will make up the third line, and Matthias Janmark and Devon Shore will be the two on the fourth line. Sounds like Kyler Yamamoto and Klim Kostin will be healthy scratches. Darnell Nurse and Tyson Barry will be the top pairing, where Brett Kulak will line up next to Cody CeCe tonight, and then it sounds like a three-player pairing, I guess, between Ryan Murray, Marcus Niemelainen, and Evan Bouchard. And once again, Jack Campbell with the start in net. Let's move on to the three keys for the Edmonton Oilers, the three major keys for the Oilers to win against the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. We will talk about that in just a second. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis this season. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer to esports, they've got it all at BetOnline. Guys, the World Cup is coming up too. I'm wearing a soccer jersey, for goodness sake. The World Cup's coming up. You're not excited for that. Canada's first time since 1986. There's going to be some exciting lines on there for Bet Online. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those as well at Bet Online. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet Online, where the game starts. Alrighty, as we turn to the three major key alert. I don't know if I can say that. Let's go to the three keys for the Edmonton Oilers to try and beat this very difficult Carolina Hurricanes. Yes, the Oilers and the Carolina Hurricanes are only separated by a single point. I think that also shows in a tribute. Words are fun. It just shows, gives props to the teams around the league that you didn't really think would be there. I'm talking about Vegas. I'm talking about Seattle. I'm talking about Winnipeg's having a fantastic year. Who else is having a good year that I was meaning to mention as well? Arizona's having a half-decent year. I mean, I think they're still one of the last teams in the Central, but third best power play in the league. Don't think you would have bet that on Bet Online. A lot of very interesting teams, but still, once the season ends, the cream of the crop will rise to the top, and I think These are going to be two of the teams that will be at the top by the end of the season. So, this will be the last time they face off against each other this season. After the last time these two teams played, this is going to be a good one. In Carolina, the site of, I keep mentioning the 06 Stanley Cup Final. I know. Just pains me every time. It just pains me every single time I mention it. But let's get into the three keys to victory for the Edmonton Oilers tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. First key for the Edmonton Oilers to victory over Carolina Hurricanes is to win the special teams battle. Neither team has a fantastic penalty kill. The Edmonton Oilers are bringing in Matthias Janmark to try and help out with that. A career penalty killer. But hear me out. The Edmonton Oilers penalty kill currently sits at 70.5 heading into the game against the Hurricanes. That is 30th best in the league. I said best as if it was a good thing. It's not. But Carolina has a 77.6% penalty kill, which is good for 20th in the league. A little bit of a flippy floppy either way. Not fantastic penalty kills for either team. Here's where the script flips. Yes, the Edmonton Oilers did go 5-for-5 in their last game against the Tampa Bay Lightning on the penalty kill. It'll be big to see them try and ride that wave and continue on with that confidence. But here's where the two teams get separated. And this is where I think the Edmonton Oilers will be able to potentially win or at least have the upper hand in this special teams battle. The Edmonton Oilers' power play is the second best in the league. I don't think you needed me to tell you that. They currently have 32.7% on that power play, the second best in the league behind the 38% of the Colorado Avalanche. Ahead of the, I believe, 30% off the top of my head for the Arizona Coyotes. Pretty impressive, as mentioned. But, again, where they get separated is here. Where the Carolina Hurricanes power play currently sits 26th in the NHL on the power play with a power play percentage of 18%. A net power play percentage of 14%. This is where I think the Oilers can win the game, which is shocking. Wow, Oilers special teams. Oh, I get it. But neither team, again, has that good power or penalty kill, so you would expect the other team to score on the power play. But you take a look at the Carolina Hurricanes power play and you go, oh, maybe they're not going to score. Then you take a look at the Oilers power play and you go, maybe they are going to score. That is where I think the Edmonton Oilers should be able to really take advantage, at least. Their special teams will be better than the other team's special teams, even though they are one of the worst teams in the NHL when it comes to penalty kill. It can be worked on. You have the players to do that. So the first key for the Oilers is to win the special teams battle. Now the second key for the Edmonton Oilers for the game against the Carolina Hurricanes is another win. They need to win the first period. Sounds weird, I know. But the Edmonton Oilers in the second and third period are amongst the best teams in the league when it comes to scoring goals. But not so much when it comes to scoring goals in the first period. Now, on the flip side, the Carolina Hurricanes aren't fantastic in any period, weirdly enough. The Edmonton Oilers and the Carolina Hurricanes are separated by two spots when it comes to scoring goals in the first period. The Edmonton Oilers have 12 goals in the first period this year, currently sitting at 16th. And then the Carolina Hurricanes have 11 goals in the first period, currently sitting at 18th. Once again, this is where the separation begins. Because the Edmonton Oilers, in the second period of hockey games this season, have scored 22 goals. You know how good that is? That's good for first in the league for goals in the second period. The Carolina Hurricanes, on the other hand, have 13 goals in the second period, which is currently good for 19th in the league. Edmonton Oilers win the second period. When it comes to the third period, the Edmonton Oilers have 19 goals in the final frame, which is good for 6th in the league. Where the Carolina Hurricanes have scored 12 goals in the third period, sitting at 26th. Oilers win the third. So as long as the Oilers win that first period, theoretically speaking, as long as the statistics keep going and the Edmonton Oilers stay hot in the second and control their fate in the third, the Edmonton Oilers should come out with a win against the Carolina Hurricanes. Again, need to win that first period, the second key to victory for the Edmonton Oilers. Now, the third and final key for the Edmonton Oilers to victory over the Carolina Hurricanes is bottom six contributions. It can't be Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Zach Hyman, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins scoring all your points. It can't be. It can't. Everybody knows that. The bottom six needs to contribute. Warren Fogle had a big game last game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Let's ride that wave. Ryan McLeod started off the season hot. 3 goals in, I believe, 4 games to start off the year. Was tied for third or second on the team in goals already. Hasn't really broke out since then. Got an assist on the Fogle goal. That has been nice, but still. Derek Ryan, still looking for a goal from him. Actually, I think he did get one, so I think he's looking for a second goal of this season. Still need to get him on the score sheet. Has been very solid when it comes to starting a shift, but it hasn't so much finishing the shift. And then Matthias Janmark, first game of the season for him. He has scored goals in his career. I believe 11 in his, not last year, but the year before. So a guy who can score in his career. His focus will be just making sure the Oilers win, as he said. Yes, most guys in the league have been at one point the best player on their team, the most skilled player. Once you get to the show, you start to realize what your position is. That's what Matthias Janmark said. He needs to focus on helping the Oilers win, but of course he can also score. So let's see that scoring touch along with the other contributions. And of course, Devin Shore is just out there to kill penalties, but you gotta love him either way. But I'm also going to add Dylan Holloway to that. I'm looking at the lineup. Maybe Ryan McLeod might pop into that top six. Other than that, we won't really see much of the top six shift. But Dylan Holloway needs a big game. He needs a big game. And that should come tonight. I'm going to include that with the bottom six contributions as well. So the three keys to victory for the Edmonton Oilers over the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. First, win the special teams battle. The Oilers are the second best power play in the league, where the Carolina Hurricanes have the 26th best power play in the league. So let's win that. The second key to victory for the Edmonton Oilers over the Carolina Hurricanes tonight, win the first period, as they are only separated by one goal in first period. So the Oilers need to win that, get that extra goal in the first period, score in that second period as they always do, and then control their fate heading into the third. And the third and final key to victory for the Edmonton Oilers over the Carolina Hurricanes, bottom six contributions. Oh, this is going to be a fun one tonight. Against the Carolina Hurricanes, a 5 o'clock puck drop, Mountain Time. Another early one, but hey, at least you got the rest of your night to enjoy. Or or not so much if the Oilers lose. But we're not going to put that in the universe. We're not going to put that into the universe. Let's go on to the ghost of Oilers past. And as mentioned, this is a guy who was traded for Sam Gagne. And then only a season and a half into his Oilers tenure, was traded again at the deadline. We will talk about who that is in just a second. But first, I want to thank you for making Locked On Oilers your first listen today. Now for your second listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter to the most and the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you find your podcasts. Alrighty, third and final period of today's episode is the Ghost of Oilers Past, one of my favorite segments on the show. It might not be yours, so I apologize, but let me know if you like this one, because I like digging deep into former Oilers and seeing where they're at now. And this one was a little bit of a fun one as well. This guy was traded to the Edmonton Oilers on June 29th, 2014. As mentioned, he was traded for Sam Gagne, which in fact, Sam Gagne was sent to the Tampa Bay Lightning for this guy. And you might be thinking, wait, Sam Gagne on the Tampa Bay Lightning? I don't remember that. Fair enough. That's because he was immediately flipped along with BJ Crombean to the Arizona Coyotes for a sixth round pick. Yeah, sixth round pick for Sam Gagne. Seems pretty silly, doesn't it? That sixth round pick ended up being a goaltender by the name of Christian Oldham. Interesting. But the Edmonton Oilers did trade Sam Gagne that day for Teddy Purcell. Yes, Teddy Purcell, however you want to say it. Weirdly, I took a look at how long he played for the Oilers. It was a weirdly long time. Not as long as I thought it was. 143 total games for Teddy Purcell as an Edmonton Oiler, scoring 23 goals, 43 assists, and he had a very solid 66 points, or 56 points for the no, 66. See, I'm good at math. I certainly wrote that down. 66 points as an Edmonton Oiler. Pretty respectable, considering that was during a very dark day as an Edmonton Oiler fan. 34 penalty minutes for him as an Edmonton Oiler, and a very impressive, considering, again, he was an Edmonton Oiler, minus 42 as an Oiler. Now, 33 of those minuses came in his first year as an Oiler in 2014-2015, but again, had a very solid season. 82 games played, 12 goals, 22 assists, 34 points for him. And then he was on pace for a pretty solid year the next year as well in 2015-2016, where in 61 games he had 11 goals, one less than the year before, 21 assists, one less than the year before there as well, and 32 points. Almost a half a point a game, which again was pretty impressive for that team. Minus 9 at the time of the trade for Teddy Purcell, as he was traded at the deadline from the Edmonton Oilers on February 27th, 2016. He was sent off to Florida. Anybody else remember that trade? That was the trade deadline, I'm pretty sure. I know it was the trade deadline where the Oilers traded Justin Schultz as well. Couple of draft picks coming that way. Also, that summer that the Oilers got Teddy Purcell was the year where the big signings that year was, well, additions, was Teddy Purcell and Benoit Pouliot. What a time for the Edmonton Oilers. Anyways, yes, he was traded to the Florida Panthers for a third round pick in 2016. Want to know who that third round pick was? You're wrong. It was Matthew Cairns. Yeah, you're welcome. I know you were wrong. I know you didn't guess Matthew Cairns. Matthew Cairns never signed an ELC with the Edmonton Oilers. He then went on. He now plays for the Cincinnati Cyclones in the ECHL. All the power to you. The Edmonton Oilers also drafted Jesse Puljujärvi and Markus Niemelainen in that draft. So, hey, either way, got your guy, I guess. In Florida, he did end up making the playoffs with that Florida Panther team. Kind of that first Florida Panther team that kind of started to change the tide again for the Panthers. The attendance started to rise again. It wasn't as much of an embarrassment as it used to be. But in those 15 games for the Panthers to end off the year, 3 goals, 8 assists, 11 points. So again, pretty solid year for Purcell in 2015-2016. Then playing in the playoffs, only played 6 games. I believe they got bumped off in the first round that year and still got 2 goals in the playoffs that year, so good for him. Then he signed with the Los Angeles Kings, and it didn't go the way he thought it would. Only played 12 games for the Kings that year, got 2 assists, got sent down to the Ontario Reign that year and had a pretty solid year, to be honest with you. 38 games played down there, 10 goals, 28 assists, 38 points, was a point per game player, made the playoffs that year with the Ontario Reign, but again, a short tenure in the playoffs, 5 games for the Reign, no goals for him, 2 assists, but still, was the last time that he played professionally in North America. He then went off to Russia, played for Avangard Omsk, played again pretty decent there. I think he caught the later end of that season because he only played 21 games for Omsk in 2018-2019. 21 games, 3 goals, 9 assists, 12 points. They also went to the playoffs where he contributed 5 points, including a goal and 4 assists in 7 games. But unfortunately, that would be the final time Teddy Purcell would lace up the skates in a professional game, as he called it quits, as he hung up the skates and retired after his time in Omsk. Since then, he's made some sporadic appearances on media, social media, mostly like podcasts, like Spittin' Chiclets and stuff like that. Hilarious guy. If you ever see, I believe it was him, Leon Draisaitl, and Connor McDavid. I believe it was also on Spittin' Chiclets. Hilarious. They were all teammates for those couple of years with the Oilers. And or I guess it was only like 61 games because he came in 2014-15. The Oilers drafted Draisaitl in 2014, I guess. So, only played with them for 61 games. But still, very funny stories from them. He's a great listen. If you ever get a chance to catch any of him talking, it's hilarious. And listening to him talk about the Edmonton Oilers is great, especially considering that was the last time that it was the turn of the decade of darkness. Again, Draisaitl was coming into the league, Connor McDavid's first year in the league. That was Taylor Hall's last year as an Edmonton Oiler. So a lot of great stories from that team. He's very funny to listen to. Let's wrap it up there. As mentioned, the Edmonton Oilers are in Carolina tonight. 5 p.m. puck drop here in Edmonton. Well, it's in Carolina, but it's a 5 p.m. Mountain Time puck drop. Another early one, but again, you get to either celebrate or wallow after the game a little earlier tonight. I hope you have a wonderful day. It seems nice and sunny, but you know it's cold, so bundle up, stay safe, and hopefully at the end of this Carolina game, we can play La Bamba, baby.